Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome in to a, is it Tuesday? What is today?
Jesus Christ.
It's Wednesday.
A Wednesday edition of the DNVR podcast.
I don't know if I can give an air horn to that, man.
No, that was terrible.
Presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook app. I'm your host, Adam Munez. Today we have a great show for you guys. We're going to talk about an absolute unit. David Roddy, that's once Omar Wynn. I see you in the comment wondering how many times we're going to talk about the absolute unit that is David Roddy out of CSU. Could he be a hometown hero for the Denver Nuggets? Can he be our guy? We're going to have Justin Michael on, our CSU Rams beat reporter, cover, analyst, all of those great things. So we're going to have him on to give his perspective. And, of course, we're going to break down the fight of the century. Eric Weedham at the Avs game last night, drunkenly fighting. With fans. Can't wait to hear our story. And I've got a squad with me. Look at this, guys. Do you guys remember Dev? Superstar Dev?
I was going to say, who is this?
He's in the house.
I feel like a special guest. The only thing is, I love being at home. Like, I have no socks on.
I have no socks on as well.
And it feels good to, like, have my feet on the carpet. Don't ask me about my pants. I already know what's coming.
We don't want to know. No, I was going to ask if anybody on this panel has socks on. I don't have socks on either. Does anyone? Harrison, are you wearing socks?
Of course I'm not, man. I got to let the ankles fly. You know, I got to let the ankles breathe a little bit here.
Casual Wednesday for us today. What do you know? I've also got D-Line the Giggler. Actually, let me introduce Harrison first, the man with the wind in his hair.
I was at the Dodgers game last night. I'm out here in California doing some wedding prep. I was behind enemy lines last night.
Holy smokes.
The Dodgers game. Did you put on Dodgers gear? Be honest.
No, are you kidding?
I didn't know if it was like one of those things. You're with the, you know, the fiance's family, and they're hey, here's the Dodgers hat. Why don't you just?
I'm a better man than that.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear it. And then the undisputed heavyweight champion of Denver, Colorado. It is Eric. You guys might know him as D-Line Co. Eric, hey, I don't want trouble here, bro. I don't want any trouble.
Well, listen, Adam. As a once wise philosopher once posited, and I subscribe to this, don't start none, won't be none, my man.
That was. So last night, as it was well publicized on my Twitter account, I was at the Avs game. I was at the Avs game last night at my first playoff Avs game I ever been. Dev, you ever been to an Avs game?
I have been to a Nabs game. They play this game. Every time someone walks by me, they say, like, one, two. And they kept on doing that. And I finally asked, why are they doing the numbers every single time? And they're like, oh, I think they just count the black people that are at the Nabs game.
Oh, cool.
And I like the number that they were at with you was one or two.
Oh, every single time. Every single time. It was a great atmosphere, too. Like, I was so excited to be there.
What did you wear?
I wore an Abs jersey, of course.
Wow.
So, oh, Eric, you need to go out already.
Just one second. Give me
one. Blow his nose. Yeah. Let's make him come back on right as he blows his nose. Watch, right as he does this, we're gonna go for it. He's gonna blow his nose. Oh, he's going off camera. What a chicken. No, so last night I was at the Avs game. It was a great time. My first thing here about it was this is kind of a funny story. Actually, I need Eric back because he was a part of this. So, I had to buy a jersey because I don't have an Avs jersey. I never had one. And we go down the line. It's like forever to get a jersey, this or that. I'm trying to be quick. We're in between periods or what have you. And they've got the little section where you can pick it out at the store, you know, and no price tag or nothing. And I'm like, God, this, you know, it's going to be an expensive jersey. It's going to be like $120, I'm sure, or whatever. No price tag, long ass line. Got to wait for it. Go all the way through. $300 for an Avs jersey. You're pot committed at that point. Yeah. I didn't know what to do it. They're like, hey, do you want us to take the tag off so you could wear it, which was my intention. And they take the tag off, throw it away. And I'm like, well, this is my jersey forever now. So I am now the proud owner of a $300 authentic Cale Makar jersey. Caught me off guard.
Yeah, the third jersey. But Adam, you look fantastic.
Yeah, which jersey was it? Was it the...
You got the third.
Yeah, with the Colorado flag, you know, the
okay,
triangle.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous jersey, if we're being honest here. But it was just kind of hilarious. Like, that was my first Avs game I've been doing a decade. So I'm very, very committed to the part now. I'm a total Avs guy.
Was it Cale Makar that you got?
Yeah, Cale Makar. He's the one, honestly, like, I'm not an Avs, like, a huge hockey fan, but Cale Makar, he's the one that stands out to me the most when I watch. I'm like, man, this guy's good. He's fun. Really? Abs, of course, get the overtime win. Yeah. It was all good. But Eric, the story everybody wants to know. It was a Blues fan, right? It had to have been like it was after the game. It was contentious. It was a rowdy Blues fan, like a young guy just kind of drunk and wanting to fight you, right?
Your designs suck.
So what had happened was I was with Adam at the Avs game. During the Avs game and before the Avs game, Adam and I were drinking heavily. Heavily before the Avs game, during the Avs game, and then we were at the bar in Ball Arena after the Avs game, looking to continue the heavy drinking that we'd already, the path we were already on. So I sidled up to the bar, as you do, especially downstairs at Ball Arena. It's crowded. It's the Breckenridge Brewery log cabin that they have fashioned down there. And you know what it's like in a busy bar? You just kind of like look for an empty spot where you get in where you fit in situation. So I went to the bar. I'm like, oh, okay, there's like a little spot. I like, you know, like I put my arm up there to sort of...
The way you're telling the story is making me think that this is not true. I'm not going to lie. Like, I up until 10 seconds ago, I fully just believed you to be the victim of this. Now I'm kind of I don't know, man. These details.
Every one of my friends that have lost the fight has started their fight. Every single one. I'm so ready for to get to the climb. I'm just like, okay.
Anyway, so I'm getting... This guy's like, hey, man, like... back off or something. I was like, what? And he was like, apparently I was too close to he and his wife or something in his estimation. And I was like, this is kind of how it works at a bar, my guy. He's like, I've been to a lot of bars. I'm like, I literally work at a bar. What are we talking about here? Like, so then I would just like, I continued on the path of ordering a drink and he like just kept talking to me. I'm like, dude, what is the story here? And so then he like got in my face and to answer Adam's question, this was an older gentleman that was also an Avs fan. We had no reason
to older, be we're talking 70, maybe? 60,
no, 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 60, no, no, no.
65?
No, he probably early 60s, maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, probably been he like, to got a lot my of face, bars. And I was like, what are you doing? So I like just got right back in his face. And then the next thing I do, he like swung and like threw beer on me. And then I ripped his fucking glasses off his face. And then we were in a fracas, and then it was over, and I just kept laughing the security came over to me. They were like, I thought we is were everything okay? I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. I have no fucking clue what just happened, but I couldn't stop laughing because it was the least intimidating experience I've ever been a part of.
I was, so he dumped beer on you.
Yes.
You
tore his glasses, off his face. Off. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Well, because he came at me and I was like, yeah. I mean, I didn't punch him, but I was just like, yank. And then we were like kind of going. I was like, I don't know what's going on right now. All I want to do is drink heavily. Like, and then it was just over. And then, yeah, everyone came up to me like, are you okay? And like, you know, typically in that situation, you would be keyed up and like, you know, you're like adrenaline pumping. But I was like, I don't know what the hell just happened. I was just laughing the whole time. Anyway, stay away from me in a bar. It's bad for you. Especially if you're wearing glasses.
It was one of those days where I'm sitting chatting, I think, with Spence, one of our golf guys, and like I hear the like, oh, like, you know, when there's a fight, like you hear that. And I look over, and
oh, man,
there's a fight. What's going on? And it's Eli. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. I thought I had to like hop in and help. Like, OK, here it goes. Like, we all have to freaking beat some ass.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Like, yeah. Spencer.
And then I saw it was a very old man.
Adam, is it like, you can't allow Adam to tell story details of your story. This is what I'm learning. Is it the guy gets
perspective? I'm saying from my perspective,
the guy gets older and more feeble every time, and I become more the aggressor every time Adam tells the story.
And I thought there was some kind of like, you know, stay away from my wife or quit hitting on my wife. I look over, it's like, I'm not to be rude here, it's like a 65-year-old woman. I'm like,
yeah,
yeah.
I was not hitting on that woman. No, I was not hitting on her. No.
And so, man, I'm so pissed I wasn't there because whenever I go out, like, the number one thing I'm rooting to see is a fight. Like, I just, I'm, every bar I walk into, I'm like, I really hope there's a huge fight here tonight. Not involving me or anyone I'm with. I just want to witness a fight every single time I go out.
Well,
you know, my number one goal.
This was
to the bowling alley during the day if you wanted to fight older people.
Oh my God. So anyway, this was the first like public, like, I don't know, conflict I've ever been in my entire life.
Wow. That's
I saved it all surprising. For, as Adam will tell you, a 90-year-old man.
It was so weird. It was one of those, and then security comes over and they're like, even trying to figure out, like, is this, do we kick people out? They didn't.
Nobody kicked anybody out. But then I went to the other side of the bar and I was just sitting there and I caught his eye and I went, and then he went like this. And then he went like this
too.
And I was like, "Did do a weird tongue thing, right?"
Yeah, yeah. He did that.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, he's old. That's old.
Yeah. And I was like, "Man, this is incredible." And then I was like, "Let's keep drinking." Oh, also, Adam, you don't know this detail. I might as well tell the literal world at large here. Did throw up pretty aggressively when I got home, like many times.
Yeah, so whose story are you going to believe? Eric's blackout drunk one or my one here?
I was not blackout. No. This is not a blackout story. Had I not ejected all of the alcohol that was still in my stomach, this may have been a different story. But I remember every delicious detail.
Yeah, it was funny. It was like a small thing, but it was still like hilarious. It's funny when it's the odd. Who, Dev, handicap it real quick. Give me your top three most likely to get punched in Serbia on our trip.
Eric, for sure. Oh,
what the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, he literally just got in a fight last night. How could he not be number one?
Yeah, for sure. Well, who's going first? I would say Eric, and then I'm going to go with Vote second, and that's like for sure. And then it depends who the other person is.
I mean, it's the five of us plus Kale and RG.
Oh, yeah, then Kale, of course. Three, actually. And then I'm going to swap. It's going to be Kale on top of Vote.
Kale, I'm bringing you on real quick here.
Is it going to be Kale being punched by RG?
Kale, here's what's going to happen. Eric is going to say something really, really inappropriate. And that somebody's going to go over and be like, that guy over there just said blah, blah, blah. And they're going to think it's you because they're just going to misspoint. You're going to get punched for Eric's misdeeds. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to happen.
I can see it happening. I also tend to be the one who always hurts myself when we're out drinking as a DNVR. Yeah. So it's just likely
could,
that it's going to happen.
We could tell that story on the pod one day, too.
Yeah, we might have to. All right, I just thought I'd bring you in for that. To get into some basketball stuff here, guys.
Why?
We just have to. I want to talk – the lottery results obviously happened last night, and the only storyline I have, the only big takeaway I have is that the West they were supposed to have three of the top six picks. They end up with three of the top four. You end up getting Orlando with the number one pick overall for the fourth time, which is kind of funny. Oklahoma City moved up. They got they moved up and got two. Houston's there, and then Sacramento moves up and gets four. So you get three teams in the West, the three basement dwellers that all now will get top picks. I don't know, Harrison, how do you think this impact? I mean, I feel like this happens every year where there's like all these lottery teams from the East, and then somehow the West always gets the top picks and they keep getting the top talent. I mean, the Luka year, you know, you get Ayton and Luka both going to the Western Conference. How do you feel? Do you feel like this makes any impact on the future of the Western Conference?
Well, I think it certainly sets up the West for years to come. I mean, you look at Oklahoma City, and I don't know if Oklahoma City is operating under the timeline of, like, we never actually want to be good. We just want to keep getting first-round picks and picking top prospects every season and just doing this for as long as possible. Or if they're actually building a super team, which I don't know. They might be. Like, SGA, Josh Giddey, and whoever they take second overall, that could be at the start of a super team. Houston as well. They have really intriguing young pieces. Like, they could put Banchero or Chet Holmgren next to Jalen Green, and, like, boom, that could be a big two for years to come. So I definitely think it's real. And if you look at that and how a team like New Orleans just came from nothing into something, and they could have Zion Williamson, like, there's definitely a lower tier of the West that's rising slowly, I think. Yeah. And yeah, I definitely think it's something.
Dev, are these teams, Houston? I mean, Sacramento's interesting because they're trying to win right now. They just haven't done it. But Houston and Oklahoma City in particular, are these teams that are going to be good in the next 2 years now that they both have these top picks?
No. Do you remember the movie Source Code by Jake Gyllen? Like, he's in it, Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal? You mean
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Gyllenhaal.
So there's the movie with him in it where they keep on letting him just redo it over and over because he keeps messing up the mission the entire time. That's how it is with Sacramento. It does not matter how they get the top pick. They're just like, hey, you messed up again. We're going to give it to you again. You messed up again. We're going to give it to you again. Same with Oklahoma City. Like, they had their small little stint or run where they were pretty good, but also they keep messing it up. So I don't know if there's a way that they can just get better. Now they just have all these guys because they keep on swinging and missing, where there's talented players, but they're not getting better because they're still losing every single time. There's no development. It's just guys who are just going after numbers or just going after, like, being a young team where you don't have, like, veteran leadership. You don't have anyone else, and they're not using them as assets in any type of, like, trade or anything like that. So I don't think at all is there a way that they're going to be good. They're just going to have talented players, but they've been having that, and it does not mean anything.
Yeah. The one I look at here, and the only one that concerns me, and I'll ask you this one, Harrison, but the Thunder, I don't know what they're doing. We've talked about the Dort, Giddey, Shea trio and how maybe you move on from one of those. Maybe you collect an asset, you move on and get from, like, Dort, and you get another piece. Now you've got the second pick. You've got all those future picks as well. You even have a second pick in this draft. Where are they picking again? 12. So they have 2 and 12. I don't, if they wanted to, I think Shea is a superstar now. Like, next year, if they wanted to, he could be, like, an all-star, super, you know, on the cusp of superstardom.
He could win, like, most improved player, probably.
He could win most just because he didn't play enough minutes, I guess. But I think that if they wanted to win now, I honestly think they could. I don't think they will, because I do think they're going to do this slow build thing. But part of me wonders, like, you've got Dort, you've got 2, you've got 12, and you've got, like, 14 future first-round draft picks. If you wanted to cash that in and have a contender next year, or like, not maybe not a contender, but a playoff-caliber team next year, they could totally do it.
Yeah, for sure. Will they? I'm with you. Like, no. they're just not. Like,
it is really – like, it is unclear. I mean, maybe that's good. Unclear what their plan is.
Like, but they like – but it can pivot. Part of it is, here's the thing that I think gets overstated and overrated. Teams that are, like, constantly trying to do this to trust the process. Guys, the process was 9 years ago. Think about, they did this slow build and it ends up not, they've never made it out of the second round. I do think the smarter thing, and maybe what Sam Hinkie was going to do if he would have given a little bit more time, although probably not, the smarter thing to do is collect all those assets and cash them in early. Like, now, 2-3 years into the process, before any of them bloom, cash him in. And I look at it and I go, we keep talking about the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes. He might go somewhere. Let's just say again, theoretically, Ayton goes there. And you got Shea, you've got Giddey, and you've got Ayton. And you've got one all those trade assets that you can be like, hey, before all these other contracts come due, we can go out and get the next big, you know, player that's available and add him to this mix. And now you're talking Shea, Ayton, one other star plus Giddey. Like, to me, that's what I'm looking at. I don't think it's going to happen because I just, there's been no buzz of that from Oklahoma City. But I look at it and I think they could. And honestly, maybe they should.
I think they're the one team you look at out of that group that's picking the top five. And you're like, okay, this really could be something. Houston, Jalen Green, he's a nice player. I don't know how he translates to winning yet. Everybody else on that roster, I'm just out on. Orlando, I'll see it when I believe it. You know,
it's also the East. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to worry about Orlando for a while.
Yeah. Sacramento, we know what the story in Sacramento is. Who do you think
Orlando will choose, Harrison? Like, who do you think makes the most
sense? The longest, tallest guy, probably.
Chet Holmgren. Jesus, man. Yeah. It would be hilarious there. My God. I don't know.
That's who that front office picks, the Orlando front office. Just like the Mo Bambas of the world, the Jonathan Isaacs of the world. Like, that's who they take. But no, Oklahoma City, for sure, I'm with you. Like, they take Chet Holmgren or, one of those top guys, pair him with SGA and Giddey. That's something. You've really got something there, I think. And I think Sam Presti's a great GM. I think they can develop players there. So, like, I really think it could be the start of something. They're a sleeping giant for real.
Yeah. I guess anybody else have any thoughts about the lottery? It always sucks to me whenever the West ends up moving up. But it could have very easily been Detroit, Indiana, there at the top of this lottery, and I'd been like, whatever, who cares?
I
mean,
the only thing I can think about when I hear about the NBA lottery is just, I remember sitting in a cubicle every day for months at a time doing the ESPN mock lottery, like trying to see like what the chances are that the Nuggets could get the top pick, and just like doing it over and over.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this is the one that counts. This one counts. God damn it. But it's so beautiful to not know anything about the NBA lottery. I love that I don't know anything about the NBA lottery currently. Like, that is the worst place to be when the most exciting thing you have on the horizon is the potential to maybe move up in the NBA lottery. And then there's no other things you're paying attention to. And the Nuggets, did you see, was this under your post, Harrison? Somebody put it, or no, it was under mine. Somebody asked for any statistician that was passing by to maybe weigh in on the probability that over however many years the Nuggets have been involved in the draft lottery that they've never moved up one time. Yeah. And they estimated it to be something like 1 in 650,000 or 650,000. Like a staggering number.
I cannot believe as a society we have not moved past the draft lottery.
Oh, I love it. I think this is a bad take.
I absolutely love the lottery, but it just seems so ridiculous. And it is so ridiculous. I love it.
It's not smart. It's not good. It's not fair, but it's entertaining. So it's here to stay.
It is super entertaining. The one thing that I have to add to it is, it's great for sure to be like, in, you know, with the Nuggets and not have to deal with that. On the second end, on the other side, do you now this year like root for teams to kind of mess up? Because Jabari Smith is probably going to go, you know, number one, but Chet is also there. You want to get Chet out of the West because he's going to be there for a very long time, right? Like, so wouldn't you like, is this a year that you root for him to go the other way? And then also Ben Carroll, he's going to most likely go to Houston. So like, you're bringing in a really good, like, players for like the future that are going to be in the West.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad for the top two picks, though. You either have to go to Orlando or Oklahoma City. Two choices there.
That's how it works. That if you're a number one pick, you're not going to the best team. You go to the worst.
Well, I'm just talking about the city you have to live in.
Yeah, the city. We got to go to break here. Then we're going to bring on J Mike. We call him J Mike. We'll tease it. Everybody's going to think we have Jermichael Green on. But Justin Michael covers CSU Rams. We're going to talk David Roddy on the other side. But first, I have to tell you, I really enjoy that Superstar Dev refers to him as Chet. Not Chet.
They really come for your white guy name pronunciation today, Dev.
just don't understand what's happening here.
Chet Holmgren is coming in the league. All right, we'll take a break.
Oh, man, I love it. The NBA playoff action is nonstop at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs with DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Right now, all customers can also place a same-game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. So make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Also at Lightshade Dispensary right now. You can pick up some Escape Artists. Escape Artists is the highest awarded topical brand in Colorado, prioritizes quality and consistency. Their 800 by 800 creams are Escape Artists' highest potency creams available. They penetrate for deep muscle tissue discomfort, non-greasy, non-staining. They can take effect in just 10 minutes or less, so they're really fast absorbing. They can last up to 2 to 3 hours as well. So you can find Escape Artists at Colorado's premier dispensary, Lightshade, with 11 convenient Denver Metro and Aurora locations. The Barnum location, one block off 6th and Federal, is now open as well. You guys can get 25% off non-sale items with the code DNVR. DNVR, walk into a Lightshade dispensary, walk into any of those 11 locations, tell them the code DNVR, you're going to get 25% off non-sale items. You can shop online at lightshade.com for pickup, or visit a Lightshade location near you.
All right, Eric, I wrote you a message in the chat. I'm going to pull you out there for a bit as we bring on Justin Michael. You can just kind of hang out in the back. We'll bring you back on in segment three. But we welcome in now Justin Michael from CSU, from DNVR Rams, to talk a little David Roddy. Very excited about this. Justin, thanks for joining us, man.
Excited to be on. And I'll say real quick, I agree with Harrison. Orlando might be the worst city in America. It's certainly my least favorite.
No way. I think that's a crazy one. Like, Orlando, to me, it's not a good city by any stretch. But, like, if you're an NBA player, it's comfortable. You're at least going to, like, you're not going to be, like, bothered. The weather's fine.
The weather's good.
Yeah.
Do you pay income tax in Florida?
Oh, no state tax. You've got that.
That's the best part.
That's the best part. You can own, I think, Orlando.
Disney World.
Orlando's also super cheap. This is why, like, a lot of, like, very rich athletes have homes there. Because I'm sure if you play for the Orlando Magic and have a good contract, you probably own, like, a 40-bedroom house with a
That's a good point. My Orlando experiences are, like, staying in crappy hotels off the freeway across from Disney World and hoping that somebody's not, like, doing drugs next door or getting stabbed or something. But Disney World's fun, I guess.
I think it could be I don't know. I don't think it would be the worst one. If you did worst NBA cities, I don't know. Milwaukee is probably up there.
Oklahoma City, dude.
Oklahoma City is definitely.
Come on.
Dude, Oklahoma City for sure. Everything closes at like 9:30.
We can just end the debate right there.
I mean. You're so right, man. There's like a couple fast food joints, a couple diners, and that's all you got. But I digest. All right, let's go down to David Roddy, though, here. Right off the top, everybody well knows I'm a David Roddy fan, man. I like weird players. I like guys that break molds. Like, he does not fit into any box. Like, he is a very, very unique type player. A la, as we're seeing, one of the biggest risers of this playoffs, Grant Williams. Roddy has some Grant Williams-esque traits to him. Like, some things that you're like, hey, man, this guy might actually be a diamond in the rough here. Justin, give us the quick overview here of who is David Roddy and what is, like, what's his skill set?
I mean, he's kind of the Swiss Army knife of CSU men's basketball. He plays 1 through 5. I mean, really, more times than not, he's going to be kind of on the interior when they're not doing the 1 in, 4 out, which it just kind of depends if he's the 5 or the 4 and what they're doing there. But, I mean, he can do anything. Last year, what really separated him from kind of previous seasons was he just developed an elite three-point shot. Mm. And at that point, you know, Mountain West defenders, they didn't know what to do with him because they tried to come out and then he would drive on them, or they would, you know, dare him to shoot and he'd hit 6 of them and, you know, go for 36 like he did against Creighton. So he's just a really unique player. He's a skilled passer. at times can be a little careless with his passing. I think that's one thing he'll have to refine at the NBA level, just because, you know, your room for error is just so slim there. He's not going to be able to get away with some of the stuff he got away with in the Mountain West. But yeah, man, he's a unique athlete, really, really strong, and a tremendous teammate. You know, it's not very often that the conference player of the year is like universally beloved, not just for his basketball abilities, but because he's just genuinely a really great dude. And, you know, me selfishly, obviously I'd like him to come back, one, for CSU's potential, but also just, I like being around him. Like, he's fun to cover. He's fun to interact with.
Cause he's funny, or cause he's like nice.
He's genuine.
Genuine.
You know,
okay.
He's very honest with his assessment of both his play and the team's play. You know, I had him on the Rams pod once a week, and it was great because, you know, sometimes you get athletes on there and they give you, you know, the runaround answers, right, or coach right. speak. And, you know, every athlete's going to speak in cliches to an extent, especially when they ask, when they're asked questions that kind of lead to inherently cliche answers. But the thing is Roddy, you know, if he didn't play great, or, you know, they did something wrong, or maybe they had a call go their way, even, he'd be like, yeah, you know, we got away with that there. And I love that about him. He's a really down to earth person and really cool.
Man, I think this is great. Let's get in first, though, to the measurables about him, because I think it's the most important thing, Dev. And Dev, you hit us up in the chat today. He tested – is it the combine that they're doing right now? Is that where he was tested?
Yeah, he went out to the combine. Also, what was so shocking about it is, like, it looks like he's been working on his body, and that was, like, a big part of it. I mean, he's
– How
he's,
much? Wait, were there photos? Did I not see this today? Were there photos out?
No, not yet, but you know that they're going to come out. But like his body fat is like down. It's like smaller than, like, you know, Jabari, who's a really small guy. Like, but he also like just dropped a few pounds down, and he had to do that to get ready for.
He has more to go. Let me just give you these stats real quick. 6'6" in shoes, 6'11" and a half wingspan, which is absurd. Like, he honestly, somebody put in the chat that he has PJ Tucker's build. Actually, I looked it up, almost exactly. Same height, same wingspan. And I think it's kind of a good comp. Like, Grant Williams might be the A version of that. We'll see. He still has ways to go. But PJ Tucker, extremely serviceable of that mold of player if you can hit that corner three, which PJ Tucker has figured out a way to make this long career going from contender to contender, doing very narrow things. Like, he stands in the corner, shoots threes, he screens, he's smart, and he guards. But 8'9" standing reach, and then 261 pounds, basically. So yes, there's some improvement there, but let's be honest, man. Like, what is his, let's say he gets into the 100th percentile of shape for him. What is his measurable there? What's his weight?
Still around the same thing, just because he has to do those type of, like, the way that CSU used him, and like his strength is going to be on the post, and that's where they used him a lot. But also, he's a 6'5" guy. It's not going to translate at the next level. Also, like, if you just take a look at, like, he made one of the biggest jumps I think I've ever seen as a shooter. He was like a sub 30% shooter, like, in his first two seasons, and then he goes in Fuego. From deep, he shoots 46, you know, percent from deep, and that's on 6 attempts a game. But also, like Justin was saying, the inside out is what made him a lot different. So that, like, shows that he put in all of the work, and he knew that that was going to be what he needed to become, like, such an unstoppable player. But does it translate to the next level where guys are a lot faster, a lot stronger, a lot taller than he is? So it's going to be hard no matter what. It's going to be an uphill battle.
Harrison, 260. Is that really the way? I mean, for reference here, PJ Tucker, 245. What is David Roddy's ideal weight at the NBA level?
I'd say it's probably like 10 to 15 pounds lighter than he is right now. Grant Williams, you guys laughed me off the show for the Grant Williams comparison last week. I'm glad we're getting around to it.
I'll be honest, man. The measurables, like, really surprised me. And I know those, I didn't realize these were even out there. For some reason, sometimes you look at a guy and you're just like, okay, I see what his wingspan is. I didn't realize that's an absurd wingspan for a guy that's his height.
Yeah. Why, he's a good shot blocker, despite, you know, coming in at 6'5" and a half. You know, he was often, you know, guarding 6'10", 6'11" dudes. And yeah. They would go up soft on him, and he would reject it. And you could kind of see on their face, they'd be like, oh my God, I just got blocked by him. And then they'd go up a lot stronger, and then it would get kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say at 260, he probably, maybe not prime PJ, but he moves better than PJ does, even at 245. Like, it's not like he's dumpy out there. He's not quick, I wouldn't say, but he's not slow either.
Yeah. I want to stay with the Grant Williams comp real quick because Grant Williams measured 6'7" and a half at the combine in shoes. David Roddy measured at 6'6". So he loses 1.5 inches there. But Roddy's got a 6'11" and a half wingspan. Grant Williams' wingspan was only 6'9¾". So he picks up 2 inches there, Roddy does. So it's kind of comparable, both their frames. Grant Williams was 240 pounds at the combine. So 20 pounds less than Roddy, and I think Grant Williams is around that same weight now. So I think like 10 to 15 pounds less than Roddy weighs now should be the goal.
And I'm with you, Justin, that he moves. Like, P.J. Tucker's old, man. P.J. Tucker didn't come into the league till he was like, what, 27 or something like that, and he's been around for it for a long time. So I get the like the movements and this or that, but they're still like – the NBA, these margins matter so much. I've said this about Jamal Murray, that he needed to lose weight early on in his career, and it was only 5 pounds, but it made a huge difference. And I think with Roddy, it's the same thing, where when I look at him, he does need some of the girth, but he just has that naturally. He's like a wide-bodied guy. He can end up being a like 7% body fat guy, and he'll still look big. Like Carmelo was that way. He was a little like round faced and this or that, but he actually slimmed down a lot and he still looked fat just because of his body. I think Roddy will be the same, but I don't know. He's still, it's 11.5% body fat, still a lot.
He's got to find a way to drop some weight, but not lose the strength, because the strength is like a huge part of his game. You know, he is undersized, but the reason he's able to be so effective around the rim and in one-on-one situations rebounding is because he's so strong. So he's got to find a way to keep the strength, of course. Right.
So, Justin, let's say he's on the Denver Nuggets. What's he doing for him?
It's kind of like an Aaron Gordon type role, I would think, coming off the bench, but hitting a lot more threes, ideally, I guess, would be the hope, would, you know, bring a little bit more offensively along the perimeter. I know Gordon can hit him, but, I mean, that's the thing about Roddy that we're going to have to see. He was a 19% three-point shooter his freshman year. It went up by 10% his sophomore year, and then it took another leap, you know, basically to 40% this past year. I think he's probably closer to like 35%. Like, I don't know if he can shoot 40% for three, especially going against bigger defenders. Like, you know, is he going to be able to get his shot off as well? And then his ball handling goes into that as well. But with Denver specifically, I think he would kind of have to prove that he could either be like a guy that handles, you know, people along the wing, despite not being the biggest guy in the world, or like Deb brought up, just kind of banging in the post and stretching the floor a little bit with some 3-point shooting and getting rebounds. You know, he's going to have to be able to go up against guys that have 5-6 inches on him, unless he ends up being like a 2 guard. But I just don't really see that based on what I've seen the last couple of years.
What about this though? Because the thing I like about him is that he can do a lot of different things. I mean, it's weird. There's the bad side is you're a tweener. The good side is you're like versatile and can do a lot. I think, I mean, we'll TBD on which one he is, but like he would be able to handle the ball on a straight line drive. I think he'd be able to, I think I could see him developing into a player that Yoke turns the corner from the right side to the left side and he wants to go to a handoff. He sees David Roddy over there. I feel like that's fine. Keep the offense rolling. He can hand it off and he's not going to be dynamic that's your go-to, but I think it is a guy that can, in the flow of an offense, keep it moving. Then you mentioned the 3-point shot. You mentioned rebounding on the offense. Like to me on the offense, I actually think he might, I don't know if that he's going to be that as a rookie, but I think he would grow into a Jokic ball player, continuity type player.
Yeah, when you talk about, like, what he brings to, like, if you put him on the Nuggets, I think he, like, fills that role a lot more.
What happened here with his mic? It just, like, went the loudest possible.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I said, so if you put him on, like, the Nuggets and you, like, ask those questions of what he can be, I think you put him right exactly into the Jamichael Green role where he's able to shoot the ball, like, freely, but also with that second unit and just, like, he's a willing defender. Although I do think that there's those limitations because he is going to be undersized a lot of the times, but you could also put him in like at 3 guard, like at the 3, and have him defend those guys like a little bit more while also banging inside, because they are going to try to attack him down low. But just have a guy that you can, you know, bring off of those like pick and pops and shoot the 3 ball, as well as set like hard screens and things like that. And he's also just a lot younger in that regard. So if I had to look at it, I would say the Jamichael Green role.
It's interesting, man. There's even the outside, when we talk about Grant Williams, the guy that was a second round pick because of all of these same reasons is Draymond Green. That's the A version of this mold, right? A guy that like does everything right, really high IQ, but you just say, oh, it's damning. He doesn't have the measurables or this or that. Like, that would be Draymond Green's the best possible. I'm not saying he's going to be that, but there is part of me that you talk about it, Justin. The thing about him is the combination of strength and mobility. And then on top of that, he does the right thing. I don't think his IQ is what Draymond's was even in, at the college level. I think it's the, on the scale of that, but Draymond's like the best at it. But that would be the hope. If you draft a guy like that and you want, what's the 100th percentile outcome? It's that he becomes the smartest player on the court, defensively in particular. And he just is so mobile at that weight that he's moving. He's your recovery guy. He's the first one to recover and rotate over and gets his hands in the passing lane, then hedges and just plays that hard on defense. And honestly, I could see it. I'm actually very intrigued by David Roddy.
The instincts are definitely there. And he's a willing defender. I think that's the most important component. Draymond is obviously one of the best defenders in the NBA, like maybe one of the best defenders ever. But David, he's into it. There are times where you can kind of see he's out of position. And he gets bullied by some bigger guys, but he's just such a hard worker. Like, okay. I mean, if you get him in the right role and you match him with the right players, like he's going to just, if you just really want him to do this, you know, lock in him, you know, defending this part of the court and, you know, shutting this guy down, he'd be up for it. Like, I have a hard time seeing him fail. And to be honest, like, that might be me too close to the situation. You know, like I said, I really like the guy as a person, not just a basketball player. So I'm obviously rooting for him to succeed. But I mean, I'd want him on my roster, especially as a contender, like where if you get him late in the first round or early in the second round, which is kind of, it seems like that's where his stock seems to be trending. It'd be interesting. I'm curious to, like, Dev, especially, how high do you think David could go in this draft?
I don't think he like touches the first round at all. I think that it's like a low second round, but also I think that that's like the great thing about maybe him coming back for like one more year just to prove it. Cause I think that when you talk about Roddy, you talk about, can he defend, you know, the bigger guys, or can he step out and defend guards a lot? So maybe he needs to just, bolster that side of, I can step out and guard guards. So like maybe you just do game film on just him defending guards, or also I can show for another year that I'm able to shoot at a high rate, higher than 40%, and things like that. So I think that he should have one more year just to prove it, but also like to just answer those questions that so many people are going to have. Like, this is going to be good for him to go through the combine and to work out for those teams and see like what differences he has and how it looks like in the Mountain West. While they're like really talented, it's not the same that they're seeing from the other guys like across the country. And he got to prove it, you know, in that Michigan game, and he really didn't. So it makes it really hard for him because there's so many things going against it. So now it's about proving it. So I think that this is a big year for that.
I think this is the hard part about it, Justin, to be honest, is that I think he is probably, like, when you just talk about fair value in terms of risk reward, 21 is a little high. Like, I think you want a more likely he's going to give us something type player there, or you want a higher upside play at 21 where you're like, hey, I don't know, but he could hit. He does feel to me a little bit more like a 33rd pick, you know, like an early first, second round type guy. And it makes me wonder, look, Denver, maybe they are interested in that 21. Maybe there's a team out there that'll trade for 33 and next year's pick. That's going to end up being somewhere in the 20s. And Denver just rolls it into next year while still getting their guy. If they view who they should take for value at 21 versus what they would get in David Roddy, they might look at that and go, hey, for us, this is a lateral move. And then you roll it. To me, that's the most likely outcome for Roddy winding up with the Nuggets, is if there's some kind of draft day trade where Denver moves back.
Yeah, 21 feels a little bit high. That's kind of what Harrison and I went into when he came on the Rams pod last week, is just, you know, when you look at the way it's going, it was kind of like when, you know, people were talking about Trey McBride. It's like, yeah, it'd be cool if Cincinnati, you know, took him with the 32nd pick, but probably wasn't going to happen. Like, it'd be really neat, but it didn't end up happening. He ended up in a good situation. I'm going to be interested to, like, see what NBA teams think of him and just kind of what kind of feedback he gets. And I think the big dilemma is, can he improve his stock enough? Because, you know, at 21, he's still pretty young. He goes back to school another year, you know, you're a year older. And then all of a sudden, if you're kind of at the same position, the teams that might have been willing to take a risk on you at 21, maybe 22 is too old for them now. I don't know.
I actually
there are a lot of things you got to consider there.
He's the type of guy that I don't think his draft stock goes up. I just
how could it go up? I mean, he's not going to shoot better than 44% from three next season, most likely. And that's like the one thing I think teams would want to see.
But to Justin's point, even if he does play better, maybe it's not the shooting splits, but maybe he does another year where he shoots 40, but he's more dominant, more this or that. It's canceled out by the fact that he's a year older, and teams just get weird about that. Like, they just are like, 21, we can't take that guy. He's old. Like, so I don't know if that's the case. I know there's always the, if you're a second rounder, maybe you just want to go back to school. But to me, I look at it, next year's class has some big names in it. I don't know. To me, it would make sense for him if his aspirations are primarily or exclusively NBA. It would be to come out this year and hope you get the right situation that's going to let you stand, which I think he can do. All right, Justin, we're going to have you on again later on. Everybody can find out more. Like he said, he did shows with David Roddy all throughout the year, all throughout the season, and he's got great coverage on CSU Reps. We're going to have you on again probably in the next week or two because we'll continue to do some stuff with David Roddy.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
You bet. Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll bring back D-Line, a CSU alum and David Roddy superfan, to get his insight on what are we calling him? The Body? David the Body Roddy?
David the Body Roddy. All right, guys, make sure to pick up some Breckenridge Brew, the official beer of DNVR. That's Breckenridge Brewery. Make sure to pick up some for the Avs playoff run. And make sure wherever you are, even if you're not in Colorado, you can go on their website and check out the Breck Brew beer locator. It will tell you where to get Breck Brew closest to you. If you're in the area, stop into the DNVR bar. We got Breck Brew on tap. We got Breck Brew seltzers as well. Since it's the NBA playoffs, make sure you're still drinking the Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. It's in that Nuggets blue can with the Nuggets logo on it. You can't miss it. So make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from Breckenridge Brewery. Also, let's throw out a DraftKings pick of the week.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what you're picking tonight. I can't wait. Oh, he always does this on the cuff. I can't wait. Let's hear it.
Oh, man. Mavs Warriors game one tonight, guys.
Yes, that's Mavs the one. Warriors I thought that's what you were going to pick. What are we feeling tonight?
What are we feeling tonight? I'm feeling the Mavs.
I can't believe the off-the-cuffness of this. Okay. You're feeling Mavs.
No. I'm feeling the Mavs. That's going to be my DraftKings pick of the week. +5.5. Mavs +5.5.
You're not taking the money line? You're just taking the +5.5? I feel like if you're going to take this, you might as well take the Mavs.
All right, what are you thinking, Dev?
What do you mute? You mute yourself.
I feel like they're just going to try to. The Warriors, as always, is just going to try to prove a point, and they're going to do everything they can to try to slow down Luka, even if it's just the one game, like just to try to set the tone. Like, I do think Luka's going to have so much success in the series and go off, but I don't think in game one. So I would go with the Warriors actually for game one.
Damn, that sounds about right. Yeah.
There you go. All right, we welcome back in for this final segment. Oh, quick reminder for anybody that was going to participate in this weekend's golf tournament. I think everybody's been notified through email and through all the channels. It's been postponed because despite 20 straight days of sunshine and 80-degree weather, somehow we are having the biggest snowstorm in Colorado history on Friday. That's what the forecast is calling for at the moment. So somehow we picked the one day of the last month that had bad weather for our golf tournaments. We're rolling it into next weekend. It'll be Memorial Day weekend next Friday. So maybe if you missed out last weekend but can do next weekend, come join us. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, Eric, you heard Justin Michael.
Yes.
You heard Adam Mattes discussing David Roddy. You went to see CSU, right?
I did go to CSU. Why? Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, so you couldn't get in to see you.
The stringent academic requirements to get in to see you were too rich for my blood.
I don't want to make fun of you. I feel gross for like – I'm not a CU guy, so I don't know why.
I know. And just so it's clear, the exact same like standards to get in.
That's not true. That's not true, actually.
It absolutely is true.
No, it's not. I mean, the facts are it's not.
You want to know something great? We represent all the great schools of Colorado minus the Air Force Academy here. We got UNC, CU, CSU, and CC. All the powerhouses.
We still love the Air Force Academy, though. Don't get that twisted. We still love them.
And DU. I guess we have to give a shout to our national champion hockey, whatever. All right, Eric. David Roddy. I mean, I want you to be honestly objective here. I know you could do the bit here, but like honest take. You love your beloved Nuggets. You love David Roddy. Is that a match made in heaven? Where does he fit into this
build? Is. I mean, you know, watching David Roddy all season, he's incredible around the rim. He has a really quick jump. He has he's got a little Zion in him that way. He's just in that he could just muscle guys away from the basket and finish really well. Granted, that's when he's playing guys that are in the Mountain West. I don't think he'll be able to pull any of that in the NBA. But his shooting is way better than you would expect it to be. So I don't know. I mean, I listening to what you guys are saying, I tend to agree. I mean, he's super interesting. In that Michigan game at the end of the year, you saw what it looked like. His limitations were when he has to go up against actually Big Ten, big centers and actually play the center position against big guys. Like he's completely ineffective at that point. So he was completely out of position and he didn't show well. The man is really skilled. I would not trade up to take David Roddy, but
You're not going to have to trade up at 21.
At 21, I agree. It seems too high to draft him, but he's definitely interesting. He's just, I've never seen a basketball player like him before. And that's the difficulty is that he's just such a unique guy that you don't quite know how his skill set will translate to the NBA, but he's super interesting for sure.
I would love the hometown aspect of it.
It'd be amazing.
I mean, he's from Minnesota, but I'm just saying he has a Colorado State connection and it would be too cool. Especially, he's also a DNVR guy. He's one of the guys that we, supported through the name, image, likeness thing.
Yeah, he was our second NIL, or maybe third. Anyway, one of the very first guys that we targeted,
which is so cool. Yeah, so cool.
Here's my take on Roddy. I love unique players coming from the Nikola Jokic school of basketball. If there's a super unique player, I'm usually gonna be all about that guy. And that's what Roddy is. He's one of the more unique players in the country. My concerns definitely line up with what D-Line said. How is a guy at 6'5" who's not a great athlete gonna look?
He's a good athlete, though.
I don't think he is. I don't think he's a good athlete.
I don't know. He's not a traditional athlete. Again, athlete when we talk about jumps high, gazelle but he is mobile and agile and body control's good.
Right. But you saw in the NCAA tournament against Michigan where his limitations athletically can hurt him. So that's my concern. How does he look against NBA length and athleticism? Can he still get the same shots that he got in college? I don't know. I think the combine is
I don't think he's a creator. I mean, PJ Tucker doesn't get by anyone. You know what I mean? Is he more or less athletic than PJ Tucker?
Probably about the same.
Well, the thing is, PJ Tucker is just sitting in the corner and waiting for.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. I think for his shot, he has to become a knockdown corner shooter. I don't know if I trust his three-pointer more than that.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of his work is around the rim. That's where everything happened for him. He finished 66% around the rim last year with the soft touch, and he's efficient, and he's able to knock down the three ball. But we only seen it for one position, for one season. And Harrison just talked about that Jokic, school of just being so unique and, Roddy doesn't, fit into any type of mold. But when you just look at the numbers, last year he got, 4.5 post-up touches a game. And if you put that in comparison, Jokic, Embiid, and Nurkic is the only ones that get that type of touches a game. He's not doing that at the next level as a block scorer. So it's a lot different than what you see all the time. He has exceptional footwork, but how is that translating? I think that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah, the main thing about David Roddy is that the game he played in college will not translate in any way to the NBA. So we just don't know. He has skills and he has things that should, by all means, translate. But we've just never seen it because, I mean, there's no universe you would put him as your center in the NBA.
Do you think though, part of this, Eric, is that Jokic is so unique that sometimes players that have other unique skill sets that you're you can't do that. Maybe you can with Jokic because Jokic does the stuff that you would traditionally expect a power forward to do, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what Justin said about him being sort of like a little bit in the mold of an Aaron Gordon, but just can shoot a lot better from the third. Like he's a big body. He's not slow. I mean, he is athletic. Like he absolutely is athletic.
He dunks it like pretty hard sometimes where you're kind of like,
and this is a guy that was a quarterback. Like this is just a, like,
oh, that's right. All state quarterback.
Yes. This is just a skilled individual. Like he's able, he has that mastery over a ball the way that like Jokic does. Like he's able to put it sort of where it needs to go.
Yeah,
we also haven't. Go ahead.
When you look at last year, like what the Nuggets are missing the most, what is it that Roddy brings that like would that you need on the Nuggets roster?
IQ, like the willingness to be within himself. I know that those things are more abstract. Yeah, but okay, yes, but when Dev's talking about usually like a Herb Jones, it's like he's a defender. We know, like, okay, that's his elite skill. But I do think there's something to Roddy. I don't know if he's good enough to do it, but I feel pretty confident that he would play the right way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And also the other thing about Roddy, like I think one of his best attributes, we haven't talked about it at all, is his motor. Like the guy plays really hard every single time he's out there. He beats guys to 50-50 balls. Yes. He gets, you know, those contested rebounds.
Yep.
Playing hard, I think, is kind of a skill that is undervalued now in the NBA. And Denver needs it. Like, I think that's just, like, when you look at his skill set, you're listing everything, that's near the top. His motor. It's an A-plus motor.
Yeah. I think one thing that happens far too often, like, well, first of all, I'm gonna speak out of both sides of my mouth for a second. I do think that if you look at one of the damning flaws being that he's like been heavy or whatever, to me, that's one of the easiest flaws to fix. It's like, okay, you get into an NBA program, you get a nutritionist, the team gets you on a plan. They're like, I just think he will be in the greatest shape of his life by September of this year, because he's going to get with a team and be there all summer. And he's just going to be working out like he never has before. So that part, I just think, is one thing you can't fix. But one thing I think we do all the time is we talk about players like a Marquise Chris and we say, oh, if he just gets some basketball skills, he's going to be incredible. Like, as if that's possible. Right. It's just a thing that's like, man, he's got the perfect body, all the athletic gifts. If he just learns how to dribble, pass, shoot. And, you know, it's like, well, hold on, what? And then you get guys that can dribble, pass, shoot, this or that. And you're like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's like, no, that's actually the part that you can't teach. Those are that, like, guys that know how to do that or have gotten themselves to that point have proven an important part. The questions about his physical traits or this or that are real. But I just think that we can over discount a player for those things when actually they're really good at basketball skills.
Yeah. At your core, you have to be able to play the game. And that's what Roddy does. He understands the game really well. He's dare I say it, a hooper. Like he is a hooper. He just knows how to play the game. You throw him into any type of environment and he should look good. That's why I'm so interested in seeing how he does at the combine, because he's going to be playing in these combine scrimmages.
I think if
you look back to last year, Bones Highland played in a combine game that the Nuggets were at and popped. He looked really, really good. And I think Denver would really be attracted to somebody who goes in and just looks really good in a setting that's like the NBA combine, where it's just 10 guys who have never really practiced together, just get thrown out there. And if he pops, I think that the Nuggets would be impressed with that.
So will it have to be on the defensive end for him? Because, like, well, how is he going to pop in a game with all these other really talented athletic guys when he's a hooper that's, you know, going to have to set hard screens, going to have to be a robot type of player? I think that, like, I don't know what the ceiling is for him, because it's all intangible things that anyone can do.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll have to stand out in the ways that he can. And like if he goes out there and just makes the right play every time, he goes out there and doesn't make mistakes, doesn't turn the ball over, plays within the offense, the Nuggets would look at that and be like, okay, like that guy could be in our system.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. Like there's a real part of me, we'll see what happens, but there's a real part of me that would love for this outcome, especially if it involves Denver trading down and picking up an asset next year, just because part of me worries about Denver not having picks going forward. And if you have a guy at 21 that you just love, obviously we're going to take that. This is early. We're going to keep getting into prospects. But I would not mind an outcome where you take a David Roddy and look elsewhere for building your team this year while retaining and picking up a new pick for next year. Even if that pick goes from 21 this year to 25 next year, to me, those are like equal picks. It doesn't, you know, it's fine. So if you can somehow pull that off, you get a new asset in the war chest to be able to work with. And then David Roddy, to me, is just so intriguing. And you talk about the hustle, Harrison. If you watch PJ Tucker play, it's not necessarily the defense or the corner three-point shooting that stick out. It's, to your point, he wins 50-50 balls per game, just three of them. And then another like 70-30 games that he never – or plays that he never screws up on. And you watch them now in a conference finals doing that stuff where it's like, man, how did he get that steal or how did he get that rebound? And David Roddy really could be that guy, so I like it. Real quick, there's a couple guys. Have you seen some of these guys that they've been this ample scramble word games – Dev, because I know somebody said you should check him out. I feel like, Dev, you know everybody in the state. Do you know Gage Prim from Missouri State?
Absolutely. He has a brother named Dane Prim who's really, really good and probably will play D1. He just had to do his, like, qualifier years. But, yeah, Gage, he played for my high school coach at Grandview a couple years back. He's good. Like, he's super good. Is he trying to go? He's not going to play in the NBA, though. I will tell you that.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. I just thought I would humor. And then what do we have here? Lottie.
Oh, Lottie went insane last year. He went down to a community college, maybe JUCO. But he put up, like, 50, like, points a game, like a couple of games in a row where he went on, like, a random, like, long stint just going insane. In high school, he was a really good player, came out at the same time as Kobe Ross, so he was a little bit under him. They started out with him over Kobe Ross, but that also tells you he's under Kobe Ross, and Kobe Ross is not in the NBA. But he's really good, and he is going to be a professional at the next level.
Awesome. And then I know we have a super chat there, Kale. What do we have? Jose says, enjoyed the game, snake draft. How do you guys watch old games like the Bubble Series? The snake draft from yesterday was a lot of fun. Old games is tough, man. I mean, I use something called Synergy, so I have like special access to something. Outside of that, I don't really have advice for like how the average person can watch them. So,
dude, just go on YouTube. If you type in like Nuggets Jazz Game 6 on YouTube, it's gonna be like a 15-minute highlight. It's gonna be all you need to see anyway.
I don't know. I sometimes like those for like highlights, but I do feel like some games when I watch, I'm like, and I go back and watch those, I'm like, oh man, you cut out that great play for some reason. Like they'll miss.
You cut out that great screen by Paul Millsap.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Jokic will draw an important foul on an awesome play and get free throws, and they won't show that. And you'll be like, oh, man, I wish they would have showed that crazy pass that resulted in a foul. So, to some of it. And then last thing I would see here, Razor Burn says, I received some DMVR merch the other day and absolutely delighted. D-Line aced the designs. You know I hate giving praise to D-Line or allowing anyone else to on the show, but I'll allow this one. In large part because Razor Burn, you are an absolute homie. First team, we see you. Always in the chat, always spreading some love for DNBR. We love and appreciate you, man. First team, for sure. Anything before we get out of here, fellas?
Just one thing. I did look. It is actually more difficult to get into CSU than it is CU. It is 84 to 85%. And GPA of the average student coming into CSU higher than in CU. So that's the last thing.
Can you?
I'm gonna need your sources on that.
I use something called Google.
Can you compare CC there real quick? Just kind of
take
a quick look and see what it is.
I don't even know what that is. I literally don't know what that is.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to leave it. You guys can go. No, I'm just kidding. All right, everybody, hit that like button on the way out. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then.
Let's go.